Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is absolutely incredible to be with you guys today. And I do have so many apologies. One, I am not at training camp currently. I was earlier today, and the plan was to go live at training camp, but they started the presser. Like in the past, you would have camp, you'd have like a 45-minute window where I could kind of get a live show in. But Raheem Morris runs a tight ship, man. And whenever he speaks, practice is over, let's go. I got to get in and watch film. And so the plan was to go live at the stadium. But, man, Raheem Morris straight off that practice field. Presser started right off the bat. All the news, we're going to cover all that. I have, 10 pages of notes just from my time at training camp today. Which, and today it's just been wild in and of itself from the 49ers perspective. The 49ers announced, you know, we're going to get into it. Slew of injuries continue. Ricky Pearsall done for the year. It's already over. It didn't even make it through two practices. He has, I think, maybe completed 5 to 6 training camp practices in 3 seasons. His season's over, and you always want to start with the idea of, you know, man, just sucks for the guy. You got to start there. Sucks for the team. Sucks for the guy for sure. And so hearts go out to him. Good news. Like, and again, I'm just trying to find positives. Ricky Pearsall, his, you know, rookie contract fully guaranteed. That's huge. His contract should toll for a season, which means this won't be an accrued season at all. So the 49ers could technically control a year later. We'll dive into all of those things later. And again, none of that makes the injury okay. It still sucks. And yeah, for those of you who noticed it, like we're in a new spot. We moved yesterday. That's why we didn't have a show yesterday. And this is kind of just thrown together. I mean, literally drove home from camp, set up, internet got turned on about 30 minutes ago, thanks to the wifey. And so, yeah, if there's any technical difficulties, I apologize. This is a ragtag performance today. I don't have my extra monitor. I don't have a lot of stuff but that's okay. There's just so much stuff to talk about that is just football wise. My mic melted in the move. That's how hot it was. Anyway, it still works. I've tested it a couple times. So apologies about all of that. We're going to make that work. And I do have to say thank you to Christine and Ken. They were able to get me into training camp. I just want to say thank you. It was so awesome meeting them on the shuttle and just talking with them and connecting. So many amazing people. And again, if you have or know anybody that has extra training camp tickets, please let me know. I'd love to go just be out there just so I could give a better look for the show and bring as much to you guys. But yeah, anyway, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. People are amazing. This is episode 1681. Yeah, first episode from the new spot, which I'm pretty freaking pumped about. And the setup's going to get better. And I know we're off kilter and all that stuff. Baby's in a corner right now. There are boxes surrounding me. They're like giants. We are still a mess over here in the Chapman household. But man, so much 49ers stuff to get to. Man, we already got super chats coming in. The chat is bonkers because we were going to go live earlier, and I know people got mad at me, but you know, we're live now. Let's talk Niners football. I ain't going anywhere. This is what we got. Phil, thank you so much. Appreciate the super chat. You are one of the best humans I have ever met. Appreciate you, Phil. It says, hashtag CC pick one. Who do you want? Kalen Black, Nick Martin, Brett Toth, Osi Adigizua, Ramek Wilson. Dude, I am a couple things. I want to talk about all of these players. Kalen Black looked great today. And again, I'm going to go through my notes. It's going to be kind of back and forth all over the place. And if you guys have questions, please get those in the chat. I'm going to do my best to star as many as I can. And just spend some time. We've been selfish with the move and all those things. This is all 49ers, baby. We ain't going nowhere. So buckle up. Get your questions in. I want to just spend time with as much as we got out here. Kalen Black, I thought looked pretty good today in team. Now, what's funny, the defensive line, I thought, kind of stole the show a little bit today at practice and team drills, which is bananas, because I remember looking out there at one play and going, why the hell is Kevin Givens playing stand-up defensive end in team drills 1v1s? What is happening? Kevin Givens, who was signed off the street as a defensive tackle, is playing stand-up freaking edge rusher. And it's not scout team. This is 1v1. Like, that is the how horrible everything was in practice today. You probably, again, you probably missed the highlights. Sorry, my note. It's a mess. It's all scrambled up here. Ricky Pierce all done for the season. Debo, the 49ers announced this signing of Debo Samuels within 30 seconds. Within 30 seconds of announcing Ricky Pierce all was done for the year. Ricky Pierce all done for the year. All right, get over that. Debo Samuels back. Cold-blooded, dude. Like, come on. Like, you knew this was happening. To do that back-to-back is just... Anyway, that's bullshit crazy, man. Oh, this guy's done for the year. But look at this. Yeah, here's your new toy. That was not cool. That was not cool. Those two things should not have been planned simultaneously at all. Like, I understand the injury leads to the signing of Debo, but come on, man. Deal with things in a respectful manner, at least. That was not cool. But defensive line, I felt like controlled the practice. I think the quarterbacks had a horrible day. A lot of underthrows, leading the receiver too far, overthrows, not interceptions, but not turnover-worthy plays, but just bad. It was just bad quarterback today. And it's weird that the defensive line controlled practice because they were just throwing hodgepodge guys together out there, but they did. Now, Kalen Black, to Phil's super chat here, looks good. And when the pads came on, this is where Kalen Black's going to shine. Now, it's thud up period. They're not taking guys to the ground. And, you know, you hit, you pop the pads, and you let go. You don't wrap up. So it looks, for running backs that run like a Kalen Black, pretty awesome. You see CMC go, which CMC's great, but, like, let's be honest, he's not running through tackles and lighting the pads up. That's never really who he has been. But then you see Kalen Black coming in. It's like, oh, that's different. It's louder. It's more violent. The leg drive comes through, all those things. And it's just like, man, Kalen Black looks good running between the tackles. So that is cool. He's passing the pads eye test. Can't go to the ground right now. So that's still kind of an issue. We'll see. Not an issue, but, like, yet to be determined. Nick Martin, it was the answer to this question, by the way. Nick Martin is the starting Sam. They did a blitz alignment period today, which was really, really cool to see, where they're in, you know, the 4-3. You want to call it a five-man front. It's a 4-3 under or 4-3 over. But where the linebackers walked up, Nick Martin's the guy. Nick Martin is the guy. Garrett Wallow's the number two. And they've been alternating that number two reps with Jaden Duggar, who looks phenomenal. And props to Jalen Duggar. Like, my thing with him is instincts and just awareness. He hasn't had it. You go watch the tape, and it's just like, this guy has no clue. A lot of really quick reads. Whenever he was out there, I was watching him. It's just like, man, that is a quick read. Looking good for Jaden Duggar. So I like that. Still, I don't think he's anywhere near ready to play. And even whenever Raheem Morris, which I was listening to the presser, and I wanted that to end before I went live. They asked Raheem Morris about Jaden Duggar, and he's like, man, he's great on special teams, and he's earning that, and that's going to allow him to earn. But, like, the first thing out of Raheem Morris's mouth with Jaden Duggar, the rookie pick, was special teams. That should tell you all you need to know. He's a project player long-term that's going to be on special teams, and then we'll see where it goes. But Nick Martin, time is now. And the fact that it's Nick Martin, Garrett Wallow, Jaden Duggar, it's Nick Martin. Nick Martin is your Sam do-it-all blitz backer. He's the guy. Garrett Wallow's, I really like watching him play. He just has a lot of energy to him. But you don't want him being your starting, you know, Sam backer. And then they go nickel, and Upton Stout comes in. So it does seem, it didn't do a lot of big nickel today. Didn't see that. Doesn't mean it's not going to be implemented at a later time. But it was, you either had Nick Martin on the field or you had Upton Stout on the field. That's not a bad way to go. I would prefer Upton Stout getting about 80% of those snaps and then Nick Martin about 20%, right? I want Upton Stout on the field all the time, and he looks the part. Man coverage, one-on-ones, team, run fit, doesn't matter. Upton Stout, not a lot of flaws to his game. Really, really not. So, Kalen Blackgood, Nick Martin, man, huge stock up. He seems penciled in with the other two. You know, it's Fred Warner, it's Dre Greenlaw, and it's Nick Martin. There's not much competition for that one spot. There really isn't. Brett Toth, not getting snaps with the ones. Connor Colby has that on lockdown. And Connor Colby had a great day. Shout out to Brad Graham. I was, you know, up there with Brad Graham and Raj, and we're watching practice together. I was a little closer to Brad, and then later on, we were able, all three of us, to talk, which was so cool. Like, two of the coolest human beings. Like, just shout out Raj and Brad, you know, SF Niners, RSF Niners, just freaking legends, man. And it's funny because I remember coaching, and you would be in a game or whatever, and, you know, I'm a defensive guy. That's kind of my thing. And, you know, you're on the sideline and you're with your guys or you're next to your coaches. And, you know, I'm a D-line guy. You got a linebacker guy. You got a secondary guy. You got a safety guy. You got a corner guy. You got an end guy. You got all these guys. You could watch the same play from the sideline and everybody's going to see something else. And whenever it's 49ers against 49ers on offense and defense, there's just so damn much. And it was kind of cool. Like, I cheated. I'm just telling everybody this now. I'm cheating. Because Raj likes secondary players. Every single year, like, Raj is funny as hell, by the way. You guys know that. But, like, we always joke about, like, third and fourth string corners making plays in training camp. And, like, yeah, who's corner one or whatever else. But Brad's an O-line guy. And so I'm like, okay, cool. Like, Raj is over here watching corners. Brad's over here watching O-line. All right, cool. I want to see how these linebackers pan out that are not Dre Greenlaw and Fred Warner. That's what I want to see. And so it's kind of cool because at the end of each play, you get like a little, like, you know, audio clip from Brad being like, oh man, Connor Colby did really, really good there. And then you'd hear Raj like, oh, that corner Jack Jones can't do that. Like, it was just cool. Like, I hope everybody understands how spoiled we are. And I include myself in this because those I learned from those guys. And it's just so cool, man, how much content and positive human beings are out there. And again, another shout out to Brad. I know he's going to be down for a little while. He's about to have another surgery. And shoot, man, even our freaking badass content creators are going on IR. But man, just shout out to those guys. So much respect, and they're freaking awesome. But Brett Toth, and Brad even said that. He's like, dude, I can't believe Brett Toth's not getting any reps with the ones. That is the Connor Colby show, which I predicted and was hoping would be the case. Like, 75's got that on lockdown, and he played very well today. Several times in team when I was watching them, they were, again, it was blitz day. And so defense goes through, you know, just different blitz packages and all that stuff. Offense goes picking up stunts and all that stuff. Then you get team. Well, the defense is blitzing to try to give you looks. There were a lot of misses on the offensive line, not from Connor Colby. Not from Connor Colby. So Brett Toth, I think backup center, backup interior offensive lineman. I do not think that he is really being considered for the starting left guard spot. I think it's going to be Robert Jones, maybe, but it's Connor Colby tier, Robert Jones tier, Toth, and shoot, man, even Nick Sakel got in there and he was really, really bad consistently, but he's still getting a lot of snaps out there. And I could also, Diggy Zoo was awesome. Yeah, that's what it is. So Phil, hopefully you enjoyed that. Yeah, appreciate the super chat. Yeah, get well soon, Ricky P. Yeah, it sucks, man. And it's not Ricky Pearsall's fault he got drafted. It's not his fault. And for the people with the injury and all that stuff, like, you know, oh, he's just so injury, whatever, they knew this. No, he never missed a game in college. But as soon as he got drafted, I think he had four injuries, all in the first training camp, two shoulders, a hamstring, then the gunshot. No control over that. No control over that. I get that. Then the following training camp, hamstring, knee, like just all kinds of different stuff. Like, dude, it's just weird. The best thing for Ricky, get this surgery and just sit out, dude. You have 12 months now. 12. You don't have to do jack's squat We don't want any workout videos. We don't want any, quit liking the Instagram posts and all that. Dude, just focus on yourself. He's such a cool kid. Just focus on yourself and get better, man. Yeah. Palooza, what's up? Palooza, sorry. Enjoy your new home, John. Yeah, dude, I'm pumped. I'm very excited about where we are right now. What's up? Appreciate all the hashtag CCs. Michael, yeah, stop expecting people to change. Nah, you always give people the opportunity to change, but you shouldn't be surprised. Injuries like this, dude, I put this way more on the 49ers health and, you know, strength staff. It's on them. They should have recognized this and they missed it. I'm not a PT. I'm not a doctor. I don't know about PCLs, like whatever else, but you should have known this. This was a September 2025 injury. And here you are 11 months later and you still got no damn clue. That's on them. And then you look at all the calf strains, all the hamstring injuries, Deshaun Stribling not even practicing now. Really? Bullshit, man. People should be fired. People should be fired. I'm not that guy. They should be gone. Kamara went down too. He got carted off. Like, golly, man. Cam Sample not practicing. It was just so bad. I'm from Texas, and one of the worst things that could ever happen is whenever it's dinner time and you don't have what you need for the dinner for the family. And so I'm a big steak, barbecue, you name it, grill out. That's what I love, and that's why I use Omaha Steaks. So whether it's a rushed weeknight or a Saturday cookout, you can have quality protein on hand when you need it. Ribeyes for special occasion, juicy burgers for a cookout, grilling chicken, seafood, gourmet Franks. Omaha Steaks has what you want. Plus, they now have sides, desserts, and more. So a great dinner is minutes away. And the best thing about it is it's steakhouse quality without the steakhouse prices. There's no more last-minute run-its to the store. It arrives vacuum-sealed, frozen, ready to go. And if you've never tried them, the Burger Perfection Flight is the perfect introduction. For just $79.99, you get 20 premium steak burgers crafted from five distinct cuts of steak. You get four filet mignon burgers, four New York strip burgers, four ribeye burgers, four brisket burgers, four sirloin burgers. So try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, you get $35 off with the promo code BEEF, B-E-E-F. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. As someone who travels nonstop for sporting events at the 49ers Rush Road Trip, I can tell you one of the most difficult things is the logistics. Finding out where to stay, how to get there, the timing, how to get your whole group, everything all together. Well, Outdoorsy solves all of these problems. And thousands of RVs and campers nationwide are available right wherever you are. And there's so many ways you could do it. You could drive the RV yourself, you can tow it, or you can have it delivered and have it fully set up at your destination. It's so simple. It's three easy steps. You search and choose an RV that fits your trip and group size. You book with confidence. It comes with insurance, customer support, protection, all that's included. Then you hit the road or arrive and relax. Whether you're driving, towing, getting it delivered, it doesn't matter. And so for sporting events, you want to go check out the World Cup this summer. You're wanting to, it's the 100th anniversary of Route 66. It doesn't matter what you want or need. They have you covered. So right now, my listeners can have all service fees removed, completely removed from their booking in 2026 with code 49ers. That's 49ERS at outdoorsy.com. That's outdoorsy.com and use code 49ers at checkout to remove all service fees. Now, right here, how is Alfred Collins looking out there? He didn't get any team reps. And this is another issue with the defensive line, which is crazy that they kind of dictated practice today in team because you didn't have any of your guys out there besides Osa, Sammo, and Keon White. That was it. Everybody else is undrafted free agent and freaking John Chapman. Come play defensive end out here. That's what it was. So Alfred Collins didn't take team snaps. He was out there for alignment. He was out there for some of the one-on-ones, but where we were at the practice field, the one-on-one D-line, O-line, completely away from us. Like, you could not gather anything from that. So I was closer to the side with wide receivers and corners, which I'll go through my script on a lot of that stuff. So Alfred Collins, you know, it's just one of those things. He's there. He's getting reps. He's out there for alignment. He's out there for individual, not getting team reps. So, you know, give him an incomplete right now, but it's just good that he's out there. So, yeah, do for that what you want. Yeah, Chapman, are you concerned with the multitude of injuries? Yeah, I think I was counting like 14 players not practicing today out of 90. You're cutting it down pretty bad. And then you have a lot of guys that don't. And one of the notes that I did take, it does seem like the legends are getting a lot more PT during team this training camp than in the past. You remember Trent Williams, CMC, a lot of those guys would practice like once every 4 or 5 days. Dude, this new routine, they're getting a lot more work, which I think is a good thing. I believe in practice. I really, really do. And so I do like that aspect of it, that CMC's getting so much work. Trent Williams, like, that is huge. But when you have guys like Bosa's not getting a lot of work, you know, Stribling's out, Collins not getting a lot of work. Like, you've got so many of those guys. Then you get into the 10-plus guys with hamstrings and whatever else is. Man, it's rough. Notorious, yeah, NFL, not for long. Anybody else remember that NFL films where it was just like all the mic'd up, cut up moments? Yeah, anyway, that's where it is. Yeah, right here, Sonia, Ricky Pearsall being out kind of reminds me of when CMC's injury. Yeah, it's just bad, man. Two practices. Couldn't finish two practices. Ugh. Logan, not going to lie, I'm really happy for Nick Martin considering how his season went last year. Dude, he's looking the part. And he's getting the opportunities. And so I think that's huge. Joseph, John, you're going to Australia for week one. This schedule is brutal for travel. You're telling me schedule screwed us over big time. We had so many like key, huge events coming through. And yeah, Niners just got screwed completely. But we will be in Australia. We will be in Mexico City. We will be in Seattle. What's up, Alex? We're going to be in Atlanta. We're going to be in Dallas. Going to be probably in LA again, just trying to figure that out right here. Notorious thoughts on Parag joining Leeds. Happy for him. He's been here forever. I know Adife Meso is going to, I know I butchered his name, so sorry about that, is going to step up into that role. He's got so much experience. I love that guy. But yeah, Parag's been a mainstay. He really, really has been. You're losing guys all the time. What about Larry Wirt Jr.? I think his name. He's huge. You see Larry Wirt Jr. out there, and you're just like, who the hell is that guy? But as far as like meaningful PT, didn't really see a whole bunch of that. Didn't really see a lot of playmaking out there. But like, he looks the part. Huge, man. Physical presence, very, very well known. But I didn't see anything that would say any more than just a special teamer, you know, kind of deep backup at this current state. What's up, man? Look at this. Dane Strauss, new member. Appreciate it. Thank you so much. All the members out there. And of course, our executive producers, Corey Robbins, 49ers, George 365, David Gill. Any way you support the show, we just want to say thank you. The best way to support this show, go over to the 49ersrush.com, sign up there, or on our Patreon channel, which as soon as these preseason games start, dude, there is nothing more important than signing up there. We go through every offense, defense, special teams, coaching tape. I show you why the plays work, why they don't, whose fault each play is, every single play. We show you all that you could want to know about everything, plus the Zoom Hangouts. We'll be doing our bets of the week with my bookie. They are back on. Give you guys more details throughout this week. And we got some season-long bets. We post our bets every week during the season. We're going to have a bunch of season-long bets that we're going to post. So you can join us with that. We have made money 7 out of 8 seasons with my bookie. We had one down year, and it wasn't even down. We just didn't post a positive. Really, really hope you guys join us there again. That is the best way to support the show. The49ersrush.com. Sign up. We have a 7-day free trial. Go check it out. Make sure you like it. Or on our Patreon. Both are the same thing. Feel free to sign up at whichever one you want to be there. And, yeah, right here, Logan Hike, Kamara, Mikel, all being hurt. not ideal. Plus Cam Sample not practicing. Plus Nick Bosa not doing team. Good gosh. You just, Kevin Givens out there with the ones at defensive end. Dude was on the street yesterday. Yesterday. Oh, man. Yeah, that's rough. That is rough. Right here, mayor of Ninertown, coming from Pennsylvania with my daughter for a first home game week 2. Please tell me you're organizing the gathering. It is in the cards, my friend. It is in the cards. That Miami week 2 game, it is in the cards. Not finalized. It is in the cards. Right here, Aaron, any signs who will start at safety? Man, that seems to be almost locked up now. Marquis Siegel, who made some plays today in one-on-ones, made some plays in team, very physical, always where he needs to be, and Jair Brown. Those two guys, with Malik Mustafa's hamstring, he's going to be missing 2 to 4 weeks easy. And this new defense, it seems like it's kind of the writing's on the wall. It's going to be Jair Brown and Marquis Siegel are going to be your starting safeties. That's just what it's going to be. And that's kind of who started today. You know, just from the defensive standpoint, Marquis Siegel, Jair Brown, those were your two starters at safety. Renardo Green, Demo, those are your two starters at corner. Upton Stout was out there. Your three linebackers, like I said, Fred Warner, Dre Greenlaw, Nick Martin. And then, you know, for alignment period, your defensive ends, Bosa and Keon White. And then you had Alfred Collins and Osa Odigizuwa. There we go. I got it. That's kind of where that was. So if you're looking at the starters defensively, that was it. Now, if you're looking at the starters offensively, it's the same five that have been out there. Colton McKivitz, Dominique Pooney, Jake Brendel, Connor Colby, Trent Williams. That's what it is. Luke Farrell's your starting tight end, and he had probably the biggest offensive play today during team on a seam route. Brock Purdy nailed him. It was a backside tight end leak seam route, and, man, Brock put it on him. It would have been 20 yards easy. Could have gotten more. You never know because team, they don't go to the ground, all that kind of stuff. But, like, Luke Farrell had probably the biggest offensive play today. That was huge. Debo starter. He had the most targets. This is what's crazy, man. Debo Samuel signed today and had the most targets. I think he got targeted 6 times in team. Design targets, screens, leak passes, crossers. I mean, it's great that he could step in and know, you know, the entire playbook, but it's just like, really? Debo? Hey, Kyle's not calling these plays. I don't know, man. I don't know, man. That's a little spicy for me. I'm not the biggest Debo, and I love the question. Hey, you've requested a trade here from this organization twice. How's your organization? He's like, none of those came from me. That was just contract negotiating. Ain't got nothing to do with me. Like, dude, take some culpability, dude. You forced your way off this team once. I'm very glad he's back. And I said, if Ricky Pearsall goes down, then you bring in Debo. Ricky Pearsall went down. They brought in Debo. I said, if it's under $5 million guaranteed, cool. The only parameters we know of now, at least whenever I'm recording this, I don't have all my stuff open, so I can't check alerts. So I apologize. Again, ragtag performance today with the move. Apologies. We'll be better. But up to $7 million. And that's agent language. We'll have to see how the incentives. So I like the contract. Again, I like the parameters. I don't want him taking snaps away from Stribling, but Stribling didn't even practice today. Why? Hamstrings. Soft tissue stuff that our health and fitness staff cannot help. Just can't keep our players hydrated despite practicing in some of the coolest climate. And today was warm, you know, it was like 80-something out there. But, like, you heard the question from Osa when they interviewed him yesterday. What do you think about the climate out here? He's like, this is amazing. Everybody talking about how it's hot. This ain't hot. This is perfect. This is a perfect day. Like, come on, man. You should not have this many hamstring calf injuries 1 week into training camp. It's absolutely ludicrous. People do not need to be having these jobs. You need to change things. Instead, promoting from a failed position. You don't fail upwards. That's what the 49ers do with their health staff. And it sucks, man. And I hope that those guys and everything goes well. And I'm not one to be calling for people's jobs, but they are literally holding this team back. Literally. Anyway, and players got to take better care of themselves. You have a hamstring or a calf strain in multiple years during training camp, that's on you. That's on you. You pull something, all right, cool. That's on you. You got to fix that. Now, I'm going to open up the notebook, and we're going to go through, man, probably not the whole thing, but we're going to go through a lot and try to give you as much of a microcosm, kind of snippet, play-by-play almost, of who's doing well, who's doing bad. What are some things that we can take away now that the pads are on? Team ones versus ones, kind of except for a defensive end. All right, after this.
49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its sixth year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you got to come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get autographed. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com.
Look at this, man. Stefan, 49ers, thank you for your generosity. John, greetings from Germany. What? I love it. Appreciate your work. Hashtag Niner Empire Germany. Faithful from afar to just understanding how difficult it is to follow the Niners. I don't even know what time it is. I think it's like 10 hours difference there. So, yeah, it's like midnight over there, I think, Stefan, depending on what part of Germany you're in. Just want to say thank you. Your generosity, what you have to do to be a part and, you know, follow all this stuff. Incredible. Just awesome. You are the freaking man, Stefan. You are freaking. Look at this. Yeah, look at this. Mulder. Niners, Germany. Here we are. Greetings from Berlin. We have not one, but two people watching from Germany. Look at this. Notorious. 11:15 p.m. in Germany. You guys are legends. Gosh, man. So honored to be in your virtual presence and so thankful. Hopefully one day we get to enjoy a very large Steiner of beer together. With the rate of the 49ers international games, probably going to be pretty damn soon because they are playing everywhere. All right, let's get through the notebook and just some of the things that I took away from practice today. Punt returners, good gosh. Everybody. Counted six punt returners. Debo wasn't one of them. How much of that is Debo's first day? Let's just let him do offense stuff to Debo's a freaking star. And that's kind of the treatment they're giving him. And you know what? We'll just see. Debo gets to do whatever. I mean, he walked in with the ones. The crowd loved Debo. There were Debo jerseys. Fans were going crazy. He definitely drew the most, I don't know, whatever. Everybody was so pumped to see him. I think the way everybody else sees Debo is the way I see Drake Greenlaw. They're different in my book. I love Debo. Love Debo. Love the way he plays on the field. Hate his off-the-field stuff. Again, the requesting multiple trades, holdouts and all that stuff, that rubs me the wrong way. Debo's awesome, though, but not punt returning. So you had Will Pauling. Cowing's probably your number one punt returner. He's done it before. 86, yeah, you got Junior Bergen out there. Number 84, Colton Dowell. 17, Watkins. And 82, the new wide receiver, Irwin. It seems like Will Pauling and Jacob Cowing are kind of your two guys. And so, yeah, those are the punt returners. Do with that what you will. Now, stick with punters talk. Jack Baumeister, Longhorn guy. Man, looks good. Not getting most of the reps. You've got the other punter. He's getting most of the reps. And he looked good. Waitman, he got more reps. He's a hang time guy. Now, Baumeister had one punt where he literally punted it over the fence in a bad way. It was a shank. And like there's a road right next to, in between the substation and the fence. there's like a road where construction workers drive on and like almost hit a truck. Like it was pretty bad. He turned around and like scratched his helmet. Like, whoops, did anybody see that? We saw it. But overall, Baumeister looks good. Does seem like Waitman is getting most of those reps. So deal with that however you feel. Connor Colby, he's starting. Don't expect that to change. No Stribling. I couldn't find him at practice. I'm asking around. Anybody see 15? Anybody see Stribling? Like we're like eliciting, because I don't want to put out there Deshaun Stribling's not practicing if I just don't see him. You know, there's 80 players out there, and a lot of them tuck their jerseys up because you're allowed to do that at training camp, right? So you're cooler or whatever else. And some guys don't want to be noticed. I don't know. But I'm like, dude, does anybody see Stribling? He's not out here. It's the early part of practice. They're stretching. They're doing that. He wasn't out there. No Cam Sample. And, yeah, a lot of practice for the legends. That is one of the things that is so unique about this training camp is Trent Williams, Christian McCaffrey, Fred Warner, like those guys, even Mike Evans, they're getting reps. They are getting reps. Oh, look at this, Jacob. I like this. The 49ers rush is international, baby. Yeah. Oh, we got the Philippines in the house. What's up, Joel? Good friend. He's the best. Can't wait to see you in Australia. Ben, my man, how's the new Chapman Digs? New digs are awesome. The missus and I moved into the apartment. I'm loving it. I like it a lot more than she does, but she's a trooper. Love you, wife. True MVP. But yeah, we have way too much stuff. I don't know how we're going to make this work. It's just boxes everywhere, but, you know, we're here and I got my little cube station over here, which we're going to adjust and, you know, fix up a little bit better. So it's a little bit better than this, but we have the essentials to get stuff done. And so from here, it only gets better. Who's got it better than us? Who's got it better than us? Now during one-on-ones, and apologize here because, you know, I jot down numbers just because it's so quick. Jacob Cowing, very first rep, just like awesome job. Beat Upton Stout on a 1v1 on a fade route. Perfect pass for Mac Jones. And it's like, all right, Cowing. All right, showing up. Right off the bat, jumps to the very front of the line for, you know, 1v1s. And shoot, that is just... It was an awesome rep. It wasn't bad coverage. That slot fade from a nickel inside leverage position, it's the hardest spot to cover in the NFL. It's the most difficult. And he got it there. 81 was all over the place. He just destroyed Darrell Luter. And I'm just to the point now with, like, Darrell Luter, you just got to understand, is a terrible practice player. It's just what it is. He is not good. He is not competitive. But when the games come on and he gets to hit, he shows out. I thought every single day after I went to camp last year, Darrell Luter's getting cut today. You can't put that bad of tape up there and stay on this team. You just can't. But then training camp happens or ends, and you bench Renardo Green because he's making dumb choices out there. Darrell Luter goes out there and plays starter-level snaps and, like, not a liability. So I'm just to the point now, Darrell Luter, like every single thing with him at training camp, I'm just putting an asterisk by it. He's just not a practice. You talking about practice? We talking about practice. Yeah. Anyway, Jack Jones is Jack Jones. Like, I think I've seen him in person a few games I've been to, but not to the point where I'm trying to pay attention to his technique and stuff. That dude's just crazy. Mauling wide receivers at the line of scrimmage, holding, tugging, pushing, tripping. Dude's just a junkyard dog. Got flagged for multiple plays, almost got an interception. Like, that dude just does not care. Like, he is just a Tasmanian devil out there and on one-on-ones, tackling dudes, man. Yeah, it's fun to see. Jack Jones is fun, man. I really, really like him. 86 had a couple good plays. And so Junior Bergen, wrote off for dead by the 49ers Rush podcast, had some decent routes. He's slow. And so small and slow is just such a rough combination. And so every single play he makes is like the 10th degree of difficulty. So it looks awesome whenever he makes a play. It's got to be a perfect pass. and he's got to make a badass catch with his short arms. And it's just like, but he did it. He did it twice in one-on-ones where it's like, all right. And he even had a nice playing team. And it's like, okay, Junior Bergen maybe deserves to be out here at practice because I haven't really felt that way last year. And now he's not even one of the top two punt returners. And it's like, what are you doing here, man? Like, kind of hard to move off of him whenever Christian Kirk's not practicing. Ricky Pearsall's done for the year. Stribling's not practicing. It's like, okay, well, we need bodies. But Debo had a nice out route in one-on-ones right off the bat. I want to talk about Grimes. Grimes is nice, bro. It's funny because he looks like Debo. Now, take this entire little whatever together, okay? Just calm down. Let's just talk. Wesley Grimes looks the part. He's tall, he's got incredible muscle development, and he had his jerseys tucked up underneath. And so several times people are like, is that Debo? Because he's making plays. And it's like, no, that's not Debo. That's Grimes. And I was like, yeah, look at the shoes. Because people can't tell them apart. They look similar in the way that their body style and their gait. And so one-on-ones, and you're watching it, and people are like, was that Debo? No. That's Grimes. Grimes is awesome. He separates very, very well. He's built. He's got speed. He's got the NFL body. And I remember we were doing the roster countdown series, and I'm just like watching this tape, and I'm just like, dude, this is really good tape. It's just not consistent. But he passes whatever eye test you want. Yeah, it's an undrafted free agent. He looks good, man. I'm just telling you, he looks good. And it was so funny because every single time he'd make a play, you'd hear somebody go, is that Debo? That wasn't Debo. Looked like Debo, not Debo. Now, I'm not saying he's like a lock for the 53. I'm just saying there is like ones-on-ones, he's separating vertically. He's got good, clean breaks. His body is huge. He's a hands catcher. Akshay said, yeah, Larry's talking about Grimes. I'm telling you, man, that kid stood out. He stood out consistently. Mike Evans is awesome. They're like, he's just, it's pretty cool seeing it. He's not that fast. I don't think he ran like a 4.5 something at the combine. That was over a decade ago. But like, oh yeah. Awesome, man. Mike Evans he's awesome. Cowing, another awesome catch on an outright, gets so much separation. Cowing looked great early. Really, really, really did. But he thrives. He's 7-on-7 type guy. Gets swallowed up in team a little bit. Like, the congestion is bad for Jacob Cowing, and it makes it hard to kind of find him and differentiate him. 7 Cook, 27 on a comeback. Yeah. DeMarcus Robinson gets out there. And, you know, it's one-on-ones, which not for the safeties. They don't man up too often, but you do kind of a little bit more in Raheem Morris's scheme. But, yeah, just like, I don't know. I put a star by it because I was like, don't even talk about it. I don't say a lot of positive things about Jair Brown. And so, like, I was like, dude, don't even mention it. Here I am mentioning it. But, yeah, DeMarcus Robinson, like, just cooked this dude. Like, it was a comeback route, which it's against the safety. It's not a corner. And so if he's manned up, you're probably blitzing. Are you going to have that much time? You can put the context to it, whatever else. Now, Jordan Watkins. I want to talk about Jordan Watkins because Raj loves him. And to Raj's point, 17, Jordan Watkins is open everywhere. He's open vertically. He's open on in breakers. He's open on out routes. He's open all the time. And the quarterbacks had really a bad, bad day. Like, they were just missing. But you'd see him on a route, and he'd have a 3-yard cushion, which is wide open in the NFL. This is 1v1s, but it happened in team two. None of them were catches. The pass would be slightly behind, and so then it turned into a contested catch. He just has no strength contested, but that's not really who he was in college either. So you're asking this guy to be something else. So you're like, okay. Jordan Watkins can get separation consistently against everybody. Ones, twos, threes. He's all over. I saw him take slot snaps, which I like. I think that that gives him a path to playing time. And he was kind of buried on the punt return. He was at the back end. So, like, I kind of even pushed back against the narrative of, like, well, Cowing or Watkins can return punts. Dude, I don't think Watkins is near the top of that depth chart. Now, you could force him up there because the other guys might not make it, but whatever. So now you're telling me, okay, Jordan Watkins making this route. He can get open. That's number one job for a wide receiver. He's a vertical threat. That's one of the things that makes him unique against a lot of other guys. But if that ball isn't perfect, he's not going to catch it. You have to hit him in stride. And if he's got to fight for it, he loses it every single time. There were four separate contested catches, all against different defenders, that resulted in incompletions. He was open. Quarterback made the right read. Ball was late, high, short, low, whatever. He didn't come up with one of them. So if it's a contested catch, that ain't he. Nobody's confusing Jordan Watkins with freaking Juwan Jennings. So what do you do with that? Do you just say, well, he's getting open and he's got speed and he's got versatility, so that's enough. But he's not going to be one of those guys that bails out a quarterback in a bad situation ever. So I don't know what to do because, like, Brad and Raj were, and again, this is my first training camp because I was out of town with the kiddo in France and moving and whatever else. So, like, I haven't been there. I'm trying to provide all of the context. Dude, I walked away just saying, all right, Jordan Watkins has skills. That is awesome. He's not really somebody that I want to trust out there very much. I don't like weak at the catch point wide receivers. I don't. You give the quarterback just such a smaller target to throw, and if they have a bad day, man, I don't like that. It's not that he has bad hands. It's that he's weak at the catch point, right? Like, that's the thing. Like, Upton Stout plays so tough, right? Like, and that's the defender. It's like, dude, I'm telling you, 10 out of 10, if you just, you don't do this in the NFL, but let's just say, I'm going to Upton Stout, Jordan Watkins, y'all stand shoulder to shoulder. I'm going to just throw the ball up in between you guys, jump ball, let's see who comes down with it. I don't think Jordan Watkins is going to catch it one time. I don't think Upton Stout's going to catch it either. But, like, okay, now let's do that same thing with Debo, Stribling, Mike Evans, DeMarcus Robinson. I'm just like, everybody's going to come down with a lot of catches. Jordan Watkins, none. Jacob Cowing, maybe, probably not either. And so, like, we have these two guys that do have unique skill sets. And they are separators, albeit very differently. Cowing's horizontal separator, right? Watkins, much more of a vertical separator. Each one of them can do the other, but the ace that they both have, Cowing's the jitterbug type, and Watkins is the vertical type. Yeah, Cowing can stretch the field vertically. Very first play of one-on-ones, he beat Upton Stout vertically. Yeah, Jordan Watkins can win on out routes. It won on out route right here, but it got pass breaking up. So I'm just like, gosh, are we just like forcing these things to happen with Jordan Watkins and Jacob Cowing? In my opinion, Jacob Cowing is a full tier above. I really, really do. Why? Because we know Jacob Cowing can punt return. We know he can do it. He did it for a full year and never lost a ball once. No turnovers. I know, and he's already number one out there punt returner. That's done. Now, maybe the Debo thing makes it a little bit more redundant if you're going to have Debo doing that. He didn't practice it today. We'll see. I'll be back out there Monday. But for the people that are saying, like, okay, it's Cowing or Jacob Cowing or Jordan Watkins, one of these guys, I'm here saying, my opinion, Jacob Cowing is the clear front runner in that race. And I don't think it's relatively close. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Jordan Watkins just had a bad day. I don't know. So right here, who are you cutting? I'm cutting Watkins and Bergen. Yeah, out of those two. Watkins is weak, Cowing injury prone and small, Bergen slow. Yeah, Cowing, though, I mean, he's only had two injuries in his entire career, and they're both hamstrings back-to-back. It was the same one. Cowing's looking good out there. I really, really am. Right here, Ben, my recollection of Cowing's college film, despite his size, was he was surprisingly strong at the catch point. Yeah, I mean, I could go back. I don't have, again, I don't have everything open. Apologies, but I'm fighting for you guys, but I'm not at my best today. And sometimes you're not always going to be at your best. Through things you can control or not. I'm surprised I got this up and the internet's working. It was cool. Like, we got it done. So anyway, right here. Yeah, VJ says live from training camp, but you're not showing anything live on the podcast. What is, you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to have phones out. You literally, they walk around and force everybody to put your phones away. That's, you're not allowed to do that. I did post clips on Twitter earlier today of things that we were allowed to post, but then I was going to go live while I was there, but Raheem Morris started his presser early. So there we go, VJ. Hopefully that helps. And yeah, we working over here. We're working over here now. Yeah, right here. Let's get back to 18 deep. Great day, Grimes. Grimes was good, man. Separated vertically like a boss. 86, nice catch in hands. That's one-on-ones. Yeah, Nick Martin, dude, he's the guy. He's just the guy. Now, when team started, this is full 11-on-11, so 1v1s were over. Here's, like, it wasn't good for the offense. It really, really wasn't. Christian McCaffrey, outside toss for 5 yards, maybe. Nick Martin made a really strong run, set the edge, and come back inside. Would have been a tackle for loss. Not sure who. It was kind of a mess in that area, but Nick Martin made the play. And it was just like, oh, there it is. Like, I was just like, and this is 1v1s now. Like, you know, team, it's team ball, but it's the starters versus starters. That was huge. A lot of positive plays and a lot of kind of number 32. You know, I'm a pretty big running back. Davis Jr., I thought that he did really, really good, but he's not going to move the needle. He's your all-purpose back that can kind of do a little bit of everything. Defense shut down the run game again. A huge play would have been a tackle for loss. The crowd went nuts. Christian McCaffrey runs it inside the tackle. It's log jammed. Probably would have got tackled. He reversed out. There was nobody out there. And so everybody thought it was like, oh, this is a Christian McCaffrey 60-yard touchdown. I was just like, man, that would have been a tackle for loss. But again, I come to this from a defensive coach's perspective. And you tell your guys, like, don't wrap up, you know, whatever. Offense, you keep running no matter what. And so, yeah, it looked like it was a cool, like, whatever. But I didn't think it was. But I'm sure there's going to be some people out there saying Christian McCaffrey would have scored a 60-yard touchdown. I call baloney on that. I'm not saying anybody has to say that. I'm saying everybody watching that same play, there's going to be 5 out of 20 people that are going to have the perspective of, man, Christian McCaffrey would have scored a 60-yard touchdown. And I'm just like, nah, probably not. Kimby Mutombo, not so fast. Kalen Black, nice run through the B gap, solid 8 yards. And again, I just got like, lots of little bounces off tackles, thud, but still, man, you can see the bowling ball thighs, runs physical. I really liked what I saw from him. Watkins was behind the defense, but 25, Jack Jones got a pass breakup. Mac underthrew it. Debo, throwback screen. They had two or three screenplays designed for Debo. And it's like, dude, you can do that with other players. Yeah, Debo's the best at it. But it's just like, we just deleted that from our playbook last year. And it's just like, why? Like, you give it a shot. Let somebody else try to do some of that stuff. Like, nah, I don't know. But it worked. It was kind of funny. The crowd went crazy. But it was against the third-team defense. Like, it was a Debo screen. Obviously, the offense and defense rotate at different numbers. Do with that what you will. Defensive lines controlling team, period. Marquise Eagle pass breakup versus Watkins. Every single defensive back had a pass breakup versus Watkins. Anyway, deal with that what you will. Another Debo screen. Then they moved into down distance where you start first and 10, but you're not moving the ball. You're just trying to get a first down, then reset. You're not moving the ball downfield. They did that later. Man, Kyle Juszczyk was wide open on a wheel route. overthrown by Brock Purdy. That one kind of sucked because it was like that would have been walk into the end zone. Brock struggled with those. It really, really did. Check down, nothing really big. Colby looked great on a redirect blitz. And so during this time, it's blitz period. So it's first, second, third down. You can move the ball like downwise. So if you get 3 yards and second and seven, you get 4 yards, third and three, right? But it's all blitzing. And so you're getting all these cool stunts and whatever. And Connor Colby just, man, aced the test to the point where as soon as he went out, offense couldn't do anything. And this is the starting offensive line in general, but I myself was trying to watch Colby as much as possible, but it goes with the entire starting offensive line. So from a blitz pickup standpoint, starters I thought did pretty good. From a run game standpoint, defensive line dominated for the most part. Third and six, CMC wheel route, overthrow it again. Great coverage by Fred Warner out there, which was really, really good. Kind of dove for the ball, Fred, and rolled into CMC a little bit. It was just like, oh, don't like that. But everybody was fine. And, you know, Fred got up talking trash, you know, celebrating the incomplete pass, which, dude, that's awesome. But it's just like, oh, calm down there. Don't roll up on number 23. So next, first and 10, Debo screen, 10-plus yards, probably another big play where, like, he hit that seam real quick. It looked really, really good. Mac Jones throw into double coverage was incomplete. No chances at interception. Kind of a forced pass where it's just like he didn't like anything. You could feel the pressure. It's blitz period. And so he just kind of sailed it in a general direction of a wide receiver. Second and 10, Jack Jones DBU. There was a flag on the play. Jack Jones going to Jack Jones. Third and 10, Debo in breaker, incomplete route, just way too short and in front. But it's just like, golly, we are force feeding Debo day one. That is what I do not want. That is Mike Evans is out there. DeMarcus Robinson is out there. Jacob Cowing, Watkins, all these guys. Debo led the team in targets. First day. Straight off the plane, bro. Brad asked me, he goes, did Debo get separation on the play? And I was like, nope. Could have been completed. It would have been a perfect in-breaking route, which we've seen to Debo a lot of times. It was low and in front. He didn't even get a hand on it. But it's just like, man, we're already force-feeding this dude. I love the homecoming. And the crowd loved it. They were going bonkers. But I'm just like, we've seen this. The team, I think, is better with Debo than without with the Pearsall news. Stribling didn't practice today. Mike Evans limited reps. I get it. But gosh, man. Come on, man. What's up, Rick? Appreciate you, man. What are my thoughts on Debo coming back? Yeah, I like it. You know, I haven't seen the full contract details. I don't want to force him the ball. But yeah, I mean, he's an energy provider. He brings it, man. Like, there is no doubt about it. He looks the part. Debo loves to practice. Debo knows one speed. It's go all out. And, you know, shows up wearing neon green cleats. It's easy to find him. I like it. Yeah, you got more guys out there that can make a difference. It's just like, what is the role? Is this dude starting Z? I don't like that. I want him to be a gadget guy that could back up the wide receiver spots and running back spots. That's a returner. Didn't practice returning today. Wasn't with the returners today. That's where I want him. Are you putting this dude back into starter every down? I think that is a mistake. You have seen how limited he is against man coverage. Every single team is going to be like, Debo's in there. If he's a starter, let's just run man. Done. Anyway. Let's see. Quick out route from Mike Evans. Brock Purdy, bad throw, not caught, incomplete. Another Watkins pass breakup. Connor Colby was really good on that one versus a stunt. Debo crosser, big gain. He did have some separation on that one. And this was like just a shallow kind of drag route where he caught the ball probably 7 to 8 yards, you know, downfield. So not a deep pass, but all the way he broke past the center, past the tackle, and then hit that window on the outside. And he would have had some room to run, which was really, really nice. Let's see here. A quick outlet on first and 10 to 47. Now, this one was huge. This was my favorite Jalen Duggar play where, you know, we were behind the defense where I was at my perspective. And so I was I could read through the Sam backer, who is Jaden Duggar, to the quarterback, right? And to the running back. So I'm like, okay, linebacker, his key is going to be the back, the running back. So I'm watching straight through it, kind of like the end zone film whenever we break down coaches' tape. And as soon as the back took a step out to the flat, Jaden Duggar mirrored. Right? It's a mirror match drill. This is a positional drill for all linebackers at any level. And I was just like, ooh, that's awareness. That's recognition. That's quick. And so the pass was completed out in the flats, just kind of a running back flare, but 2-3 yards, and he was right on top of it. Like, I loved that play. I was just like, oh, like instincts are there. Nah, not all the time. He's still got a long ways to go. He's still learning. But Jaden Duggar, I was just like, ooh, all right. I was kind of mad. Like, Mac Jones is so quick to outlet. Like, I love the completion percentage. I love to just, dude, get the ball out. No negatives, whatever else. But it's like, man, there were so many times where there was a player wide open. 27 had a busted coverage on a seam route to DeMarcus Robinson. DeMarcus Robinson running straight down the seam route by himself. Nobody within 20 yards. Number 27 flashed down to the flats. And Mac Jones still checked it down. And it was just like, ah, oh, dude, that would have been a 60-yard touchdown to anybody. Like, there was nobody within 20 yards of the wide receiver just screaming down the thing. But just so quick to check down. But that's Mac Jones's MO in this offense. It's not a bad thing. It's just, yeah, it kind of bothers you a little bit. Pass breakup, almost interception by number zero, Renardo Green. He's playing with some moxie out there, ladies and gentlemen. Nobody's taking that position from him, by the way. Anybody thinking there is any type of cornerback controversy or position battle? Wrong. There's not one. You have three starting corners, and that ain't changing. Diamondor Lenore, Renardo Green, Upton Stout. Period. Paragraph. It's over. It's over. Those are your starters. There is no competition. There's not. John, you only went to one training camp. There's not. It's those three guys. That's it. Right here, Akshay says, you talked about the tight end group. I didn't watch the tight ends a bunch. I really, really didn't. I will say the number one offensive play of the day was Luke Farrell. Kind of a tight end leak route up the backside seam. Purdy put it right in his chest. He caught it, turned around, nobody was there. That would have been a huge gainer, at least 20 plus yards, at least. I know he's not running away from anybody, but and right here, Notorious, he says, sounds like DeMarcus Robinson might be cooking this year. DeMarcus Robinson is a camp standout. Last year at camp, he was incredible with every single quarterback, but he had that suspension, you remember? So for a month, when the season started, DeMarcus Robinson had to leave. He didn't get practice for a month. It took him a long time to come back. And, like, I don't understand how this fan base, and maybe it's the media coverage, maybe somebody's out there, and I get it. DeMarcus Robinson's not sexy. Like, I get it. He's old and too. Mike Evans even talked about it. He's like, ah, hang out with DeMarcus Robinson. You know, we were in the SEC at the same time. Like, they're the same age. DeMarcus Robinson's old. You don't win your playoff game against Philly without number seven. Like, 100 yards and a touchdown against all pro corners. Chuck, you guys know Charles. He does, you know, the whole reason why this podcast started. You know, my best friend. Like, he's a hardcore Eagles guy. We were in a fantasy football chat, and he's in there. He's like, yeah, Brock Purdy struggled against Quinyon Mitchell last year. And I was like, bitch. I was like, what is you talking about? And I just went straight to DeMarcus Robinson highlights, posted them in the clip from that Eagles game. DeMarcus Robinson cooked that dude like four times, one for a touchdown. Like, you best not come for the king. You best not miss. Like, bro, come on. Yeah, I love Chuck. And Chuck knows football. He watches football. He was just trying to whatever. But, like, don't you dare. Quinyon Mitchell is awesome. There are no like he's better than any cornerback the 49ers have on their roster. But DeMarcus Robinson lit that dude up like a Christmas tree in Philly and sent their asses packing. You know what I mean? So, like, put some respect on this dude's name. I would take him over Jacob Cowing. I would take him over Jordan Watkins. I would take him over Pauling. Like, I'm taking him over Grimes. I'm taking him over all those guys. DeMarcus Robinson is not on my cut list. He's not even close to it. Now, you do have to balance youth and rookie deals and whatever else. But I'm telling you right now, DeMarcus Robinson is a better wide receiver today than Jacob Cowing and Jordan Watkins combined. I believe that. He doesn't have speed. He offers nothing in terms of special teams. But look what happens. You lose a guy for the year in Ricky Pearsall. You got number seven that could just step in and play any position. He can play X, he can play Y, he can play Z. He knows the whole playbook. He's going to be right where you want him all the time. He's great in the red zone. And he still put up freaking, what do you have, six catches, 110 yards, and a touchdown against Philly? Like, am I crazy? Like, y'all help me in the chat. I know I'm crazy. That's not the question. Am I crazy about Robinson? Like, I just don't understand how a team that is so messy at the wide receiver position could afford to walk away from this guy for a youth upside that has not come to fruition. I don't know, man. I'm right here. Come on, man. Yeah, not with all these injuries at wide receiver. Yeah, I think you need to keep DeMarcus. He can play all three wide receiver positions. Yeah, savvy vet. He's a keeper. There we go. DeMarcus Robinson making this roster, period. Robinson's a nice asset to have when added to Evans, Stribling, Watkins, etc. I'm in on Robinson, too. Love Robinson. Okay, cool. Like, he's just, I don't want him starting, but if he has to, I'm cool with it. I'm cool with it. Like, I just think he gets separation. He's such a crafty route runner. Awesome at the goal line. Like, I didn't have all this in the notes, obviously. But anyway, yeah, right. That's a hot take. Robinson, we are going to be separators to help us versus Seattle. He played better versus Seattle than anybody else we had. Nobody played well, but he's the only guy that, like, actually had a catch. And so, like, I'm not crafting my roster to play against one opponent. I'm crafting my roster to beat zone and man coverage from a wide receiver spot. Like, I understand everybody has a bad taste in their mouth, but, like, dude, you sucked at running the ball against Seattle. And shoot, Kubiak got asked about this earlier this week. I think it was Larry. He's like, dude, you sucked against Seattle twice. Like, what do you do there offensively? And he talked about it. He's like, well, Ricky Pearsall dropped a pass on third. Ricky Pearsall had zero catches. Ricky Pearsall is a separator. He had zero catches. Zero. Zero. I'm upset. I'm not yelling at Ricky. I'm yelling at the situation that is Ricky Pearsall. Playoff absence, even though he was on the field for 42 plays, and now he's out for the rest of the year. I think we all have some. I definitely have a lot of anger and angst to get out, not towards Ricky, towards the Ricky experience. It has not been fun. It has not been fun. Let's see here. 3rd and 10, Diamantoro Lenore, pass breakup versus Evans. Lots of contact. Lots of contact. That was the last play of team. Then the field goal went out there. Eddie Pinheiro goes 6 for 6. There was one that was a little tight in the inside of the goalpost from about 45, but dude, Eddie. And I don't know how Eddie Pinheiro can live up to. I don't know how he's going to live up to last year. To not miss one field goal the entire year. Yeah, he had his extra point issues. And yeah, he missed that 64-yard clanger off the upright, you know, as time expired at the half in Indianapolis. But like, dude, there's no way that he can do that again. And the good news is the 49ers aren't paying Eddie Pinheiro to be the best kicker in the NFL. He's already, with a brand new contract, he's the 11th highest paid kicker per year. So I'm saying from a fan standpoint, dude, you cannot expect perfection. And I don't know Eddie's mindset. He'd probably talk trash to me, which I would love. But like, dude, yeah, come on, man. Like, he can't be perfect. But it is nice to worry, not worry about the kicking position. Yeah, again, you know, I feel bad again. Like, I'm such a goober. Brad's working his ass off. He's got multiple phones off. He's got multiple journals out. He's just working his ass. And I'm over here trying to talk about youth football and like getting him off task. And I'm just like, hey, man, you're like, I'm such a dork. He's a consummate professional, dude. He's so much respect for that guy and Raj. Like, they're good at what they do. I'm just a jackass that's just trying to crack jokes back there. But like, I lean over and Brad's doing all kinds of stuff. I'm like, dude, do you remember Jake Moody? You remember being here? Because and just like living through that and like people laughing at Jake Moody in practice. It's nice not to worry about the kicking position. Yeah, Jacob, I'm with you. Like, Eddie needs a raise. He just got a brand new contract. He already needs a raise. I love it, man. I do love it. Yeah, John's got to complain about kicking. What else? No, I'm not complaining. I'm saying, how do you follow up perfect? What do you do after perfect? Eddie P is going to miss kick. I love Eddie P, dude. I don't make that dude a captain. Like, my number one offseason thing was sign Eddie Pinheiro. Like, no. I'm not complaining. I'm just like, golly, dude. I what the mentality is to come back from a perfect year? Oh. Yeah, right here, Notorious. You think the faithful will turn on Eddie if he misses a PAT that will cost us a game? I don't think so, and I hope not. I really do hope not. And I think, you know, after that Jake Moody, whatever that was, yeah, there's got to be great. Eddie's awesome, dude. I love him. Period. All right. Then the Niners came together after Eddie goes 6-for-6 on field goals. They get water break everybody else. Then they do move the ball, right? And so this is where they can move down the field and, you know, you get a first down, all that kind of stuff, whatever. Yeah, Dre Greenlaw, 2-yard tackle for loss. Just the way everybody feels about Debo is the way I feel about Dre Greenlaw times two. I put a little film clip of Dre Greenlaw warming up, and I was like, I hope everybody understands how lucky we are to see Dre Greenlaw play in the 49ers uniform again. There are not a lot of humans that play their position the way it's supposed to be played, right? Like, it's rare. And to have a linebacker, Fred Warner's a better linebacker than Dre Greenlaw. Nobody disagrees with that. Fred Warner is, I'm going to say, the greatest linebacker to ever play for the 49ers. I personally think Fred Warner, when it's said and done, will surpass that of Patrick Willis. Simple, just because of longevity and the awards and all pros. He's going to pass him in every single category. But whenever you look at like the platonic form, the heavenly form of what it means to be a linebacker, it's Dre Greenlaw. It's this, I will kill you if you wrong me. It's perfect. It is perfect. And so, like, I got to see Dre Greenlaw play today. There was nothing that could have made me happier in that moment. Like, it was awesome, man. Like, it was just so cool. Like, there are just moments where you're like, oh, I was there for that. I was there at the Brock Purdy, you know, very first game against Miami. I was there for that. Hey, that is a vivid memory. Shout out to Rick and Will. Like, I remember seeing Garoppolo get injured, and I yelled, I think Jimmy's hurt, as he's walking to the sideline. Then they cart him off, and I throw my hands up to go order beers. And then Brock Purdy just freaking lights Miami up, and the rest is history, right? I remember Dre Greenlaw, and I don't know, man. I wish other people felt the same way that I do. He is my favorite 49er, and that is a rough, crowd because there's so many George Kittle's on this team, Fred Warner's on this team, Christian McCaffrey's on this team, Trent Williams on this team. There are so many badasses. For me, it's Dre Greenlaw. That moment against Seattle, the stop on the 1-inch line, damn. The multiple interceptions. Dude, I'm sorry. This is, I want to rename 49ers Rush to be the Dre Greenlaw podcast. I swear, dude. Just be thankful. Just be thankful. You get a C-57. Oh, dude's the best, man. All right, second and 10. Christian McCaffrey dropped short a couple yards, maybe. Then you had a quick out route or outside toss to number 32. Braden Willis, arrow route for 6 yards. Sam Osak came blitz free, scot free. Somebody missed something on the right side. It was the backup offensive line. No, it was not the backup offensive line. I remember it was not. Colton McKivitz and Dominic Pooney looking at each other. I don't know what happened. There was a miscommunication. Sam O came free. Like, you know, Brock Purdy was under center, would have been a sack, period. Maybe Brock does some whatever. But, like, Sam O came so free through that B gap that, like, he just stopped and did, like, held his hands up. Like, I ain't touching him. I'm not getting closer. Could have killed him. But, like, yeah, defensive line was crushing it. Then came the big Luke Farrell play, the backside seam. Purdy threw it perfect, like minimum 15 to 20 yards. At that point, Mikel Kamara's, you know, getting carted off and all that kind of stuff on the backside. Hate that for the kid. Watkins, nice pass boot check down, which was awesome. Could have been a huge play. Not a contested catch. He had separation, but it was a backside rollout boot. He came from the opposite side on a shallow crosser. Awesome play design. Watkins in space with that speed would have been fun to see. Now, then, and it was funny because Adrian Martinez came in, and I was a little upset. I was like, dude, I wanted to see the Maple Missile. I wanted to see Curtis Rourke get the number 3 snaps, but Adrian Martinez played well. Very first play in, he gets his third read, checks down to DeMarcus Robinson. And just like, man, number 4 was just playing well. I really, really thought that it was good. And that Watkins big play was Adrian Martinez as well in the backside boot. He moves better. He's a better athlete than anybody else at the quarterback position for the Niners. Like, it's not close. Like, you see, when Ford goes in there, it's like, oh, all right, a quarterback's moving. Yeah, Brock has that short burst and whatever else. But, like, Adrian Martinez is an athlete who plays quarterback. You know what I mean? And then later on, whenever Curtis Rourke did step in, did not play well. Held the ball way too long, would have been sacks, would have been tip passes. Like, to me, and I understand just today's whatever evaluation, Curtis Rourke had a great practice yesterday. Went 5 for 5, ran the, like, looked the part, looked a little lost. You know, Adrian Martinez looked way more calm, collected, could operate at a better efficiency. So I don't think that quarterback 3 battle, I don't think it's settled. And I, you know, just from today, sure as hell is not Curtis Rourke. He got reps after Adrian Martinez. Adrian Martinez looked way better. Let's see here. Then they ran. It was interesting because Mac Jones went in with the ones, which doesn't happen a lot in training camp. So you had the starting offensive line, Trent, everybody else, but you had Mac Jones in there and you had Debo in there with the ones. CMC and bad read on a 2-yard run. There was a wide open gap. He backside cut it and shouldn't have, which never happens with CMC. Brad called that one too, so I want to give him credit. Busted coverage by number 27 on the backside, but the quarterback checked it down. Hobbs came on a free blitz. Nick Sakel missed it. Too long from 14. D-Rob slant from empty. They were at an empty set, which was cool. D-Rob hit a slant over the middle. Would have been a good gain. Inside toss to 32 would have been 6 to 8 yards. Quick out Watkins was good. 91, almost sack again. Like, he pulled up, which is Sam O's the man. So, yeah, those are all of my notes on the play-by-play. That's why you don't hang your hat on one practice. Yeah, 100%. You don't hang it on one game. You don't hang it on one rep, one quarter. It's a lot that goes into it. Yeah, well said, Debster. Yeah, well said. We're talking jerseys. I loved it, man. You guys are awesome. Yeah, right there. Greenlaw popped Gibbs and made a fumble in the NFC Championship game. That gave us some momentum. Yeah, dude. Oh, what's up, Grand? Grand A in the house. Fred is the boss at the end of the day. Dre is the extra hard hat guy. You got to get through to get to the boss. Yeah, well said. I like that. I like that. I have a Greenlaw jersey, and it is one of my prized possessions, but it's white. I don't like wearing white jerseys because I tailgate and move stuff and tables, and like I always get them so dirty when we're doing the tailgate before the game. So like I can't wear a white jersey because usually I'm dripping sweat by the time it's time to walk to the game because I'm running around. Like somebody's like, hey, we're out of whatever barbecue. I got to run over there and get that. Or the line gets long at the bartending line. So I got to run over there, be a bartender, or hey, we need more. Like I'm that guy. And so, yeah, it's hard to wear. I need another. That's my problem, Notorious. I need another Dre Greenlaw jersey. I need a red one. That's what I need. So, all right. Let me just take my breath a little bit. We're an hour and 20 into the show. Appreciate everybody being here. We're going to be live from now on. The mothership, I got to reset a bunch of stuff and start unpacking and all that stuff. Now, tomorrow, the 49ers do not practice. They practice, but this is their jog through. It's supposed to be a walk through, but the 49ers practice faster than everybody else. It's closed to the media. And then on Monday, that is the hard, full-on practice, the culmination of the week, even though Monday's the start of a new week. But for the way in which they slot their four-day practice segments, it's easy. Today was a medium day, then walkthrough, then hard day. Monday, I'll be back out there. Really, really excited about that. Shout out Daniel Ortega, legend. Appreciate you hooking me up. And I don't know. The plan is to go live while I'm there, but it's hard whenever, like their new schedule. So I might drive back and then go live, which probably will do. We'll see. I don't know. The answer is I don't know. But we'll be live tomorrow with the countdown video. We got to continue that. We got 13 more players to break down, which I just love bringing up the background of that. But we'll be live every day from now on. That is the plan. So there's no more breaks in this schedule. The 49ers season is upon us. If you're new to 49ers Rush, I'm seeing we got a lot of people across multitude of channels. Hit subscribe. We will be traveling alongside the 49ers. We will be partying nonstop. If you want to go to a away game, go check out 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. We've got tickets to day before rallies. We've got all-inclusive tailgate set up. If you're going to Australia, Mexico, we've got travel packages to individual events. We will be there as well. But, you know, the lifeblood of this show, this is episode 1681, it's talking football and increasing the fan experience. That is what we are here to do. That is the goal and the purpose of what we do here. And if you like that, comment, like, subscribe, whatever. We appreciate you. It's going to be a very, very fun year. Today was a fun day. Sucks for Ricky Pearsall. Sucks for Mikhail Kamara. Hate that. The band plays on. This is the reality that is NFL. And we will be here hoping to expand that experience for you throughout the season. Thank you guys so much. Man, first podcast done in the new mothership. And I think it went all right. We'll see. We got to improve some stuff here. But you guys are the best. And until next time, stay strong, faithful.